This morning, the title of my talk is a horrible bit of Wenglish. Wenglish is English and Welsh amalgamated and sort of communicated together. And so this is a conglomeration of kind of Englishism and Welshism in one. And it's terrible, but hopefully it will be memorable. And that's the point. And the way that we would pronounce this is Dewis, Dewis. Would you say that with me? Dewis, Dewis. And the inspiration coming from Colossians 3 and 17. And now you'll probably recognize this flag. Who can tell me what this flag is? The flag of St. David. It's the flag of St. David. We're not getting political this morning. It's the flag of St. David. Yesterday in across Wales, the Gwyl Dewi Sant, the St. David's Day, the festival of St. David has been celebrated, and a day of celebrating all things Welsh. You may see people sort of wearing daffodils or leeks on their chest in Aberystwyth, and I know in many towns and cities there's a parade that takes place, and people walk together through the town, and a day of great celebration, celebrating being Welsh, celebrating all things Welsh. So if you've wondered what this flag is, this is your first time being in Wales around this time of year, this is the flag of St. David. And in Welsh, David can be Dafydd, or it can be Dewi, and there's one or two other ways that sometimes it's pronounced, but usually Dafydd or Dewi. So Dydd Gwyl Dewi is St. David's Day. So just in case that clarifies what that means for anybody. So this is the flag of St. David. David is the patron saint of Wales. And we're going to take some inspiration from some of his life today as we talk about Dewis, Dewis. The word Dewis means decision or choice. And so I don't know whether the derivative of the word comes from, is linked with the name Dewi, with St. David. I don't know. I'm not sure. I couldn't find out anything about the etymology, the Welsh etymology of the word Dewis. But Dewis, Dewis hopefully is going to be a memorable way for us to remember about some of the choices that we might make in life. Now, St. David, there are a number of miracles that are attributed to the life and ministry of Dewis Sant. So you may be familiar with some of these stories. The reality is we cannot verify them, that we can't give scientific evidence. But there are some miracles that are said to have taken place in the life of David. One of those you may have heard of, he was preaching in a place called Llandewi Brevi. The story goes that whilst he was preaching, the crowd gathered. The crowd was so big that the people at the back couldn't hear him. And so the ground beneath him miraculously created a hill so that he could be seen and heard a far away in the distance. There's other miracles that maybe took place in his ministry, including the healing of a blind man. And the reality is, the reason that we can't verify these things, the documentation wasn't being made at the time. So all the documentation that we have about the life of St. David is actually a few hundred years after his life. So it's been passed down through oral tradition, through stories, and through people telling each other what had taken place. And so at some point in history, about 1,000 years ago, somebody did start making documentation of his life, but it was some time after his life. But so often when people talk about St. David, you'll hear about these miracles and these great stories of things that he's done. But what is talked about as being among David's famous last words is nothing to do with the miraculous at all. And that is what we're going to focus on today. These are the words in Welsh. Forgive me, people who speak Welsh. Arglwyddi, brodyr a chwiorydd, byddwch lawen a cadwch eich ffydd a'ch credd, a gwnewch y pethau bychain, a glyswch ac y welsoch genif i. And an attempt to bring together a few different people's interpretations of exactly what that means. Interpretation is such a challenging thing, because you're looking to take the exact wording or the meaning and the what's trying to be communicated through the wording. And so you will find some slightly different translations of what St. David is documented as saying here. But this is an attempt to sort of look at those and draw out the meaning. But this is what he was trying to say, I would understand. Lords, brothers, and sisters. This is during a sermon, his last talk that he gave. Be joyful and keep your faith and belief and do the little things that you have heard and seen from me. As he drew to the end of his life, in terms of what we have documented, he didn't focus on those miracles and the amazing stories that have been now passed on through the generations. He encouraged the people to do the little things, the small things. He was a simple man who in many ways simplified his life in order to just serve the Lord. And he was responsible for the planting of many churches, a number of them in this rough area of Wales, a bit further south. But because of this quote, around St. David's Day or around the life of St. David, you will often hear Welsh people with the phrase, be joyful, keep the faith, and do the little things you have heard and seen me do. It's a well-known quote attributed to St. David. And as I pondered that and I thought about that this week, I actually had a decision to make in the middle of the week, because I was going to talk about something completely different this morning, but I felt that wasn't right. And just as I pondered that, I felt the Lord talking to me about this. And my mind went to Colossians 3. I spoke from Colossians a couple of weeks ago, but this is a bit further on in the book. And if you're able to see the words clearly and you want to read along with me, we do like to just declare the word of God out loud together here at Elim, so feel free to read along with me. No pressure, but if you're happy to, please do. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it inform our hearts, our minds, and the way that we live. Let it be fruitful, Lord God, in our lives today as we ponder your word. Amen. It may be the case for you in your life that you see God do an amazing miracle. It is very well within God's capabilities to have done those miracles that are attributed to the life of St. David. It is very well within God's capabilities to do those miracles, similar things, different miracles through your life and through you. It is absolutely possible that you may experience the miraculous in your life. But when God speaks to us and what he shows us through Scripture is not about wanting us to perform miracles, it's about wanting us to be faithful. And it may be that through that faithfulness, through that obedience, we have incredible breakthroughs, we see great miracles happen. It may be the case. But whether or not that's the case, we can be faithful. What he wants us to do in, through, and for him is to be faithful. God sees things through a different lens to how we see things. As human beings, we are impressed by opulence and charisma, things that are impressive, things that are grand and expensive and wonderful and beautiful. We're impressed by those and people with great charisma who can command a crowd. But God is interested in obedience and character. More than opulence and charisma, he wants obedience and character. And we might often find ourselves, because of the nature of how we operate and how we think and feel, we're often seeking God in the miraculous. God, do that miracle. Do that amazing thing. Whereas all the time, God is wanting to speak to us in the everyday mundane things of life. It's not wrong to pursue the miracle, but it is wrong to avoid pursuing God in the mundane. And so we need to be looking and seeking and finding him in the daily dewis, the daily choices, the daily walk that we are making. And whilst we're looking at headlines, and there's been some headlines this week, but there are most weeks, aren't there? And most of them are not positive, are they? It's the reality. But whilst we're looking at the headlines of what goes on in people's lives, we're looking at the outside, we're looking at what's impressive, what's grand, what's in the public eye, we're looking at the headlines. God is looking at the heart. God sees things differently. He looks differently and he looks at the heart. We know from the story of David, when Samuel was sent to anoint David as king, that David was not the natural choice. 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." And what's happened here is Samuel's been sent to Jesse, and all the sons have been brought out ready to choose. Well, which one of these is going to be anointed? Which one of these is the chosen one? And of course, the father has naturally gone for the oldest, and then the ones that appear to be the most impressive, the ones that seem to be taller and more handsome and whatever else was impressive. Perhaps they'd done some weights and they were looking, I don't know, am I allowed to say buff? Is that the right word? I don't know if that's still the word that we use. But perhaps these guys, they looked like they were the obvious choice. They were the most impressive. But God says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. As we read about the life of King David, we can often forget that he was the last choice of the people that loved him, the people that were closest to him. He was the one where Samuel says, no, still not the one, still not the one. Basically, his dad says, well, there's one other, but he's the one who's out looking after the sheep. He's the shepherd boy. That's not going to be the one who's going to be anointed. And we can often forget that he was overlooked, that he was the last choice. We read the rest of the story. We see the impressive and some of the not so impressive stuff that David did in the rest of his life. We can forget that at the beginning of that story, he was not the choice. He was not the obvious choice. But why did God choose David to be king? He chose him because we read elsewhere in Samuel, he had a heart after God. God looks at the heart. David had a heart after God in his shepherding. Now, shepherding was not a well-respected job. You may think in your own mind now about what might be a job in society that's not very well-respected. Maybe a type of job that we might look down on in society. Shepherding was that kind of job. He was a looked down on kind of role. But David found a way to make that role of shepherding his way of worshiping the Lord. And wherever you are, and whatever you find yourself doing, whatever is in your hand, whatever job you're doing right now, it is your opportunity to worship the Lord. And you may feel like it's not a job which is, or a situation, or a study scenario, or a family setup where it's obvious that you can serve the Lord, but wherever you are and whatever you have right now in your life is your opportunity. Like David turned his shepherding as a chance to worship the Lord, whatever you do in your day-to-day life is your opportunity to worship the Lord. He had a heart after God. So you may feel, rightly or wrongly, justifiably or unjustifiably, you may feel overlooked or unimportant in life. You may feel like life has just not given you what you deserve, or life has not, you've not been honored or respected or had opportunities. You may feel like that's the case in your family. You may feel like that's the case in our church context, in your workplace, and so on and so on. You may feel like you have been overlooked or that you are unimportant in some way. I want to encourage you, don't get fed up with what you don't have. Get faithful with what you do have. life will be like that sometimes. You will be overlooked sometimes. We are all human. We all let each other down. We all fail to identify things. We all fail to recognize things at times. But if you will be faithful to the Lord, whatever situation you find yourself in, he will be faithful to you. So don't get fed up wanting what you don't have. Get faithful with what you do have. Serve God with your time, with your money, with your talents, and you will be rewarded either in this life, directly, or in eternity. God sees everything you do, and you will be rewarded for everything you do for him. Every way that you serve him, in your daily walk with him, serve God, and you will be honored for that. And in terms of talents, we think of talents as our abilities, the things that we're able to do, and that is right. We do need to bring those before the Lord. But the parable of the talents, obviously, is something physical. It's money, and the master has given this money for them to invest, to work with, to do something, to be fruitful with. And one of them buries it, and two of them invest it. And we get to the end of that story that Jesus tells as a parable to his followers, and he says this: his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." God's nature, the master that's mentioned, that this story alludes to or allegorizes, the master is faithful. God is faithful. We sung about that, Fidlon in Faithful One, the faithful God. It's the loving nature that he has to be faithful. And it's clear from Scripture that that is what he longs for from us, that we would respond to his faithfulness with our faithfulness. Sometimes that means making a really bold, brave, faith-filled decision. Sometimes that means pressing in for the miraculous, believing for God for an amazing breakthrough. Sometimes it will mean that remarkable, grand expression of bold faith and obedience. But consistently, on a daily basis, it is to be lived out in our daily choices. That's what faithfulness looks like. In a marriage situation, faithfulness looks like the daily commitment, the daily life that we walk in. And so that consistency is to be lived out in dewis dyddiol, daily choice. A daily choice of faith and obedience. And you may not think that it makes a big difference when you do a little thing. You may not feel that the little things you do make a big difference. But please don't underestimate the power of one small act of kindness or one small act of faithfulness and obedience. We were talking in our Connect group this week about that film. It's too old for many of you, but Pay It Forward. You may be familiar with the principle where somebody does an act of kindness for somebody else and just says, "Please just pay it forward." And it leads to one thing after another, and the gestures get bigger and grander until people are doing amazing, kind acts for one another because of what's been done for them. Don't underestimate what a small difference a small decision can make if you just decide to do something that is faithful to God or that is kind and generous to another person. God knows and sees everything that we do, all that we think, all that we say, and it all matters to him. It all matters to him, not just the big grand gestures of faith, not just what we do in the public setting. It all matters to him. And it's not just in his name that we do these things. It's actually for him. Further down in Matthew 25, we're separating the sheep from the goats, and Jesus tells us that whatever we do for another person, it is as though we are doing it for him. And whatever we don't do for another person, is it as though we're not doing it for him. What we do for him, in him, through him, and it is for his glory. So don't underestimate the power of a small act, a small choice, a small decision that you could make. One good decision could be the key to an absolutely life-changing journey that you go on. So don't underestimate the power of making one good choice. We know that making one bad choice can lead to massive destruction in our life. Maybe at some point in your life or in your journey, you've made a decision to try, oh, I'll just give that thing a little try. And it's ended up leading to an addiction. Well, it was only one small choice that you made which led to that thing which can then have taken hold of your life and become something that controls you. One small decision can make an enormous difference, but the same is true in the positive sense too. Making one small good choice today could completely transform and change your long-term story. Making one healthy decision today, making one healthy choice because you're doing it in the name of the Lord and you're doing it for Him. And any significant change in our lives for tomorrow starts with one decision being made today. You might have heard me talk before about that example that I heard where, we know this is the case, don't we? It's classic. What happens in January? People sign up for gym memberships. And this is in leadership thinking. This is sort of one of the things that people say. We overestimate what we can achieve in 1 year, and we underestimate what we can achieve in 5 years. So we make these decisions. Well, everything changes from today. My New Year's resolution is this. And then a couple of days in, it's not going so well, right? And we're smiling because we all know the story. Everything changes now, right? Big luck turnaround. But actually, if we just made one small decision today that leads to another small decision tomorrow, and those decisions get better and better and stronger, then we begin to build those good habits. So any significant change for tomorrow starts with a small decision today. That's what I was going to mention, is this theory that if you did just one press-up today, one press-up, or sit-up, or whatever, choose an exercise of your choice. If you did that one time today, and two times tomorrow, and three times the next day, and four times the next day, and five times, and so on, in a year, you may be doing 365 sit-ups. We'll wait and see. But you get the idea, you get the principle. I can do one press-up. Even these days, I can still do one press-up. Wow. That wasn't meant to be as funny as that. Okay. But thank you. I can't do 365 press-ups, but you get what I'm saying. You get the idea, you get the principle. If we can just build one small good choice into today, then it can become a great choice in the future. A small change today can lead to a big change in our destination. This picture is a ship, or a boat, if you like. Probably more of a yacht than a ship, isn't it? And you'll see there's a straight line going from the ship to the side of the page. The ship is quite large here, so we're getting quite a zoomed in idea of what's going on. And it's like we're looking in on one day of our life, or 1 week, or 1 month, or whatever, you know, relative to the decision that we're making might be. And we get a close-up, zoomed-in view of what a slight change can make, because next to that yellow line going directly to the side is another line. And that line, the dotted line, which you probably can't even really see from where you are if you're sat at the back, is because it's so close to that first line that it looks like it's hardly making any difference whatsoever. And what that line is set 1 degree away from the direct yellow line. Only 1 degree out of 360, which is how many degrees if you go all the way around. See, I know this stuff. But the dotted line is 1 degree away. And it looks like, when we're zooming in, it looks like it's making no difference at all. I mean, it's almost got to the same place on the other side of the page. And now the space I've got only allows me to zoom out a little bit, but we see what happens here. If we zoom out of the picture and we come further away and we see that ship now, we see the distance between that one line and the other line gets bigger and bigger as we go away. And what I would like to encourage you to do is to see that 1 degree change, that 1 degree decision that you can make today, is that over the course of your life, over the course of your journey, can lead to being a completely direction-changing situation. If we were able to stretch this picture out across the whole of our lives, then we could probably end up with that line being in a completely different place, different destination, different journey that we reach. Making a 1 degree change today can lead to a big change in the future. So as we come towards the end of what I want to encourage you with this morning, I actually want to ask you a question. What one trajectory changing choice could you make today? What decision, what choice like David, who did small things well, can you make today that would actually have the potential to change your story? Some suggestions, just you have your own decisions to make. You could start reading a Bible verse each day. And for some of us, what, only one verse? Well, for some people, that could be a 1 degree change. For some people, reading a Bible verse a day is, well, you know, and we've done a similar thing to the gym scenario. We've gone, right, I'm going to read my Bible. And then we open the Bible and we open Genesis and we start. And yeah, we get a few days in and we land in Numbers and we go, no. I love Numbers. You get the idea. You get what I'm saying. We try and make the big decision. Whereas if we just decided to take one verse a day, really read it, pray about it, meditate on it, think about it, dwell on it, say, God, what are you saying to me through this one verse of scripture? That's life-changing. Reading from Genesis to Numbers can also be life-changing. But if you were to apply that and put it into practice for the rest of your life with one verse a day, it's going to make more difference than reading a few days at the beginning of the year with a New Year's resolution. So there's an example. For you, maybe that's one Bible verse a day is would be life-changing. Perhaps you need to start keeping a weekly Sabbath, saying, well, the Bible says I should rest once a week. Find a way to work that into your program. Setting time aside each month for God, maybe finding a day in the month where you can just go and have a few hours or a day and just walk with God, talk with God, spend time hearing what he's saying, let him communicate with you, you communicate with him. Perhaps you need to start tithing or giving in some way into life of church or into another context where you can glorify God in that way. And that will just start to transform and change how you feel and think about the money that you have. I heard a great clip this week which talked about sometimes the generation of people who were brought up saying, well, tithing, and if you don't know what tithing is, it's a principle that comes from the Old Testament of giving the first 10% of whatever comes in into your church or into what would be considered in the Old Testament picture, your local storehouse, and into that context. And we don't require that of people. It's not something that we talk about very often. But the mistake that we make is some people think, well, this is what they were taught. If I give that 10% to God, I can do whatever I like with the rest. That bit's God's and the rest is mine. That's not the principle. It's all God's. The idea of tithing is to help us to remember before anything else happens, this all belongs to God. And so we serve him with it. And so maybe finding ways to make sure you're applying that with what you have materially is an opportunity for you. Maybe you need to start volunteering in a charity or a community project. And just give, if you can only manage 1 hour a week or a month or whatever it is, you can just start doing it. Maybe volunteering in a ministry within church. There's always room for people on teams like the refreshments teams, the welcome teams, the children and youth ministries, and so on and so on. There are always opportunities to serve. Maybe it's time for someone to make a decision to do that. Maybe you need to contact a loved one or somebody that you know is on their own or in need and just get in touch and do something about it. And maybe it's just a resolve to rejoice, pray, and give thanks in every situation, as the scripture teaches us to do. God is not only the God of our big life-changing choices. As a pastor, you know, often have discussions with people. You know, I don't know what to do with this next big phase of my life or this life-changing decision. Yes, we pray about those. We seek God. We know that there are times and seasons in our lives where there are big decisions to be made. But God is also God of every little thing we say or do. He is also in the everyday Dewis decisions, the everyday choices that we make. So don't just worship in his name. Don't just pray in his name. Don't just meet together in his name. Live in his name. Where you are tomorrow, in your workplace, your place of study, your home, wherever you find yourself, do the little things for God. Make it an act of worship. Make that choice to be living in his name in whatever you're doing. And whatever you do, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's make our Dewis Dewises. That's even worse Wenglish. Let's make our daily choices for God in faith and see what he will do in his faithfulness. Amen.